This hour is brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate, start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI School of Trades. Visit campus.edu to learn more.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Good football conversation. Waddle's top 10 most important Bears list coming up. Got some calls coming in. What's the low level of acceptance of a current quarterback in the NFL that you'd be okay if Justin Fields turns into that guy? This isn't a skill for skill comp either. It isn't like, hey, you've got to have that same type of skill as Justin Fields. Like, I'm looking at level of success.
Yes.
You know,
Yeah, he doesn't. I didn't pick Kyler Murray because I expect them to play the same style of football.
Right. And I said Derek Carr because of, you know, the Raiders have been a good team, not a great team. He's had a good career, not a great career. At times, he's been great.
It's maybe hard to be a great quarterback in this league. There's only a couple
You've
of them.
You've always said that.
Yeah.
You've always said there's that top five that you can vault into, like Josh Allen has now.
Yeah.
And then
Drew Brees left the group, and Josh Allen came into the group.
And then, like, from 6 to 15, those guys can, you can 1 year be 7, the next year you can be 15.
Absolutely.
That's what that's you've
the
always
way,
said.
That's the way it is. By the way, Kyra's Prince finished 6 out of 6 horses in the race, so it was money burnt. Tyler had a good thought.
That's
he said something about you? Yeah, he had a good thought. He said, you should Venmo request $30 from your wife. I should.
No, he's Kyra's Prince. Right.
Yeah, but
this isn't an indictment on the horse's name.
Somebody needs to compensate me for this poor bet.
Poorly thought out.
Yes.
Kyra's Prince, what was Kyra's Prince known for in the NFL? Not his dynamic speed.
Winning.
That's
winning.
A good point.
Winning.
9 games a year?
Winning.
Winning what?
Winning everything.
Winning your battle against
winning.
The corner?
Yes. You may define winning one way. You may define winning in one way. You may define winning differently.
But, Tyler, you're going after Kyra. Yeah, the name of the horse is another way to say Tom Waddle. Kyra's Prince is Waddle.
Yeah, but if Kara's name isn't in it,
then I don't play it.
You're not playing the horse.
So she should compensate me for the bad bet.
Like, it was Tom's Princess, you're probably not playing it, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, if it was Tom's Princess, you would not play it?
Probably. I don't know. Probably not. One of my kids may play it.
That would be perfect for like one of your daughters or one of your.
And I bet you they want to play. And I bet you if one of my daughters put 10 across the board on Tom's Princess and it finished DFL, they'd call me with a Venmo request.
No,
give me my money back.
They're doing that anyway.
I don't even know. I don't Venmo, so I wouldn't know how to do it.
Do.
I don't. I don't know how to do it.
What do you do? What do you think your biggest advanced skill is on the phone? Like with an app? With an app. Like, you told me the other day about Instagram. I was asking you about Instagram posting stuff. Or, like, and you're like, I don't even know how to get there.
It's absolutely his ability to bet.
Oh, yeah. To gamble online. Yes.
By far and away.
Good call, Meller. Yes. The fact that I was able to navigate the Express Bet app on my phone and I put several bets down on it, all of them lose.
And knowing where to get the futures bets, knowing where to get, like, the total. As far as strikeouts for Dylan Cease, all the buttons you have to go through.
I know how to do
the
that.
The odds boost.
I know how to do that.
My favorite thing about Waddle's phone is his home screen because it's a picture of his family.
It's a picture of a picture.
It's a picture of a picture. Yeah. It's a screenshot of the Photos app. Yeah. So it says like 2 of 2 at the top. No, you got to go to your lock screen real quick.
Wait, hold on.
And then at the top it says like 2 of 2. So he's in the Photos app with like the thing press where you can like share it, edit it, whatever. Oh, 2 of 2 at the top. It's a good picture, but it's a.
I'm gonna have to add a new one because this is they're much older now.
And then they got the winter clothes on, right?
Yeah, they do. This is from years ago.
Yeah, I don't know why you would update. I actually like the nostalgia of younger looking photos of your children.
No, I just said that, and I'm not going to do it. I mean, there's no way I'm putting the effort into changing
the
picture.
It's like Sylvie saying earlier,
if my daughter wants to fix it, she can.
I know. It's like Sylvie saying it's a busy day, here's on tap for tomorrow.
Exactly. This is what I did 2 days ago. My daughter's been in Boston. She's going through orientation for college. My daughter Leah was back at her apartment. I texted my daughter Emerson in Boston and had her order me a Jersey Mike sub to be delivered to my house because I didn't know how to do it on my phone. Wow. Not so much that I didn't know how to do it. I didn't even want to know how to do it. So I just sent it. Instead of sending the text to get the delivery, I send the text to my daughter and she gets free delivery.
Here's what else he does, Meller. Like EPI, he said to me, you got that parking app on your phone, the city parking app? And
you call my daughter.
And the way he pays the parking app is he has his daughter go to their parking app, enter his information, and they pay it.
Don't you think that is not even scratching the surface of what they owe me?
I know, but it's a lot of responsibility to fall on them when they're not around. Like, and then they got to monitor when that meter expires, and then when
I was told they get a push notice or something
notification.
That.
Well, by the way, that's another question. Why the 2-hour limit on the parking meter still? What year is this?
Like, what's a way for them to
charge us as much as they are? Why can't we park there for 6 hours? You know, they make their money. They make their money. Who cares if it's a different car? There are plenty of spots and the parking spots now, aren't there?
Well, I don't get it oftentimes when there's a 2-hour limit, but you can just.
You just have to go back. Is that just the way they make money on tickets?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
There has to be some sort of formula for.
I remember back in the day, you used to feed the meter with quarters, and you would turn that little thing, and then it would 2-hour limit. You know, and the arrow would be all the way.
Isn't
to the right.
Best part of it that in the city of Chicago, the city sold all of them to a private company?
Right. They've made every bonehead decision.
Let's put a giant saucer top on Soldier Field.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's sell the parking rights for the money today and not profit on the city of Wimpy. Millions and billions
of dollars. We are Wimpy. I'll give you, for a hamburger today, I'll gladly pay you something tomorrow.
They probably could have fully renovated Soldier Field if they hadn't sold off the rights to all the parking.
My favorite thing was the Olympic pitch of where they had to do the inflatable stadium in Washington Park because the new football stadium that they just built on the lakefront
wasn't
big enough to host opening ceremonies. Like, you talk about vision or a lack thereof. That's it. 312-332-3776. Meller, who's your low-level quarterback for Fields?
All right, so this is where I think I'm going to spark a debate. Waddle's going to yell at me.
I don't yell.
For me, and this, again, always goes back to what a quarterback is and isn't, the threshold for me is I want him to be Russell Wilson or Ben Roethlisberger. Good Ben Roethlisberger.
So you want him to be Hall of Fame level.
But that's not the question. It's not who do you want him to be. The question is if he's this guy, you won't be pissed.
Like, okay, he's not exactly what we thought, but at least we're good with him going forward. Where we don't have to be looking for the next quarterback.
And I think the good analogy is what Sylvie mentioned the other day is we all came to the conclusion, many of us did, that if Mitch was Alex Smith, even though they traded up and drafted him second overall, ahead of Deshaun Watson and ahead of Patrick Mahomes, and he wasn't the player they were, if somehow, some way, he could be Alex Smith, we wouldn't have been... destroyed.
I remember those conversations, and none of us ever felt good about committing to Alex Smith.
We didn't feel great, but we said, look, this isn't going well. If he turns out to be Chiefs Alex Smith.
Well, this was early in his, this was, year 18, after 19, year two. Yeah.
So that's where you're going.
I truly like.
That's a fairly high floor.
What about
Lamar Jackson? What about MVP level? He hasn't made it to a Super Bowl, but someone who's capable of winning MVP.
Wait a second. So that is your floor? Where if he,
because everything else,
your floor is MVP or Hall of Fame.
They've invested a first round pick in Justin Fields. If at the end of everything he has a Derek Carr level career, assuming Derek Carr, because I don't think Derek Carr is capable of leading the Raiders to a Super Bowl. I just don't. Maybe you guys disagree, but I remember a couple years ago, it seemed like Derek Carr was on the fringe of being booted by John Gruden.
Yes.
Tyler, who's yours?
Mine was always
Gruden's
Dak.
Nuts, too.
Because I think Dak, in terms of his actual skill level, the perception of him is a little bit boosted because he's had so many pieces around him. He's had the receivers. He's had the offensive line.
And he plays
for
Dallas.
Yeah,
Emmitt
and
Smith.
He's had good running backs as well.
Smith.
Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. So I think that his skill or his perception is a little bit boosted, but if he's the actual physical skill level of a Dak Prescott, I'd be happy.
Tony in Oswego, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tony?
I love the conversation. I land pretty close to where you guys are at. I said Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. Oof. If we land anywhere between, there have definitely been worse quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl, won Super Bowls. We can get it done if we just get a surrounding cast. That's all we need.
Matt Ryan's a good one, though.
Like, he is, but Matt Ryan's a former MVP of the league, too.
Exactly.
I mean, the same thing.
Who took a team to a Super Bowl.
Right, this is like, look, I want him to be better than those guys. The question is, where will you
lowest
not be pissed?
Level, lowest yes. floor. Like, it's not Kirk Cousins. Like, I'm emphatically saying that. That if he and Kirk Cousins is another box score warrior, where
Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr are
Derek Carr is a better quarterback.
Well, I don't think that you'll get 100% agreement on that. They're all in the same category.
I like Derek Carr better.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, that's your preference, but I can guarantee you that people around the league wouldn't say that there is a significant difference between the
this
two.
This will also be a really good year to see how good Derek Carr is, too.
Yeah.
With where Davante Adams
Kirk
is.
Kirk Cousins as well. Instead of Mike Zimmer being the guy that's on the sideline, it's going to be the kid that was with L.A.
Zimmer hated him. What's that? Yeah. Isn't that report just came out? It was a former linebacker who's
in
on
the
radio.
Booth now with Paul Allen.
What's his name? But is it Ben Lieber?
Ben Lieber, yeah.
He would sound like a good guest. We should have him on when they play the Vikings instead of Paul Allen just ripping me nonstop.
No, let's have Paul Allen.
I like Paul Allen, too. Here's a good one, I think. Robin Lockport, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. You know, with the news of Kyle Murray's new contract extension, you compare Garoppolo's stats last year to Murray's, pretty much the same. Jimmy made it to the NFC Championship game. Murray got killed by the Rams. He's got $160 million now guaranteed, second most among quarterbacks. And Garoppolo's being traded. It's nuts.
I wouldn't have paid Kyler Murray, that's for sure. What about Jimmy Garoppolo, though? What if he is to the level of success of Jimmy Garoppolo? Are you accepting that, or is it a bust and all bad?
It's a bust. Especially
you were just singing Jimmy G's praises.
I was against Murray, what he's being paid. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I think Murray's a bust, too. I mean, he plays well. He's great for fantasy.
Yeah.
But he's never going to take him to championship.
We'll see. I mean, he's still very young. I mean, he could get better.
He could. Listen, what I would think that they're working on with Kyler Murray is decision-making. Is, you know, and some of that comes
when
with experience.
Day.
Yeah.
Not to take the hit, not to throw the ball downfield.
Some of the throws he made last year in crunch time, you just shivered at.
What do you think? What if I told you he's Jimmy Garoppolo?
You know, I was a huge Jimmy Garoppolo guy early on, and Jimmy kind of plateaued for me. I want him to be better than that. I do.
Yeah, I think so too. Low on 294. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Low?
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're good.
Still be glad to see you're doing well, man. Been through what you're going through, and I know it's not easy.
How are you doing, Lo?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
That's fantastic.
Tommy, I've got to tell you, I always admired your grit and your heart as a player, and you always led by example on and off the field, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Lo.
My question is this. How do you how can you effectively evaluate Justin Fields' development if the Bears aren't winning? I mean, isn't winning the only thing that really counts? I mean, it's not high school and college where sometimes it's how you play the game. In the NFL, you need to win. And if they're not winning, how do you judge his development?
Okay, it's a really good question, Lo. I would use a recent Bears quarterback as an example. And that guy would be Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky's record as a starter is like, It's 27 and what is it? Like whatever it is, 27 and 20 or something like 28 and 20, whatever it is. I mean, two of the wins they give him, he didn't. He played the first couple series against Minnesota, got hurt.
He was 29 and 21.
Okay. And so two of them. And then the other one that they give him credit for because he started the game in Atlanta where Nick Foles came in and they won the game because of him. We can argue about the records. I'm going with 20. What was it? 29 and 20?
Correct. 29 and 21.
I'll go with 27 and 21 and I'll be comfortable with that. The record of a starting quarterback can be very misleading. Because if you told, because don't you remember, they would always show you Mitchell Trubisky's starting record is this versus right. somebody who is significantly better than him, and his record is this.
Right. Lo, I would give you a name. I mean, would you like Justin Fields to be Justin Herbert?
No, honestly, I'd like Justin Fields to be Justin Fields.
Okay.
I don't want him to be modeled after anybody.
No, I know, but my point is, Justin Herbert hasn't won his first couple years in the league, but they know that he's going to be a star if he's not already a star. And they've improved with some defensive players.
Last year they were 9-8. His rookie year they were 7-9. So he's been the starting quarterback for a 500 football team. And I got to tell you, 32 out of 32 general managers would take Justin Herbert over Mitch Trubisky. But Mitch has got the better starting record as a starting quarterback.
Now, I do say this about what Lowe said. I believe there will be gray area here. There is firm gray area where they may lose and we may not be sure about Fields. Like, it could be they could lose and he could be good and we could be sure. They could win, and I think the reason they're going to win is because of Fields. There could be that gray area where we just don't know. And that's the most dangerous of being a really bad team right. and still not knowing about Fields at the end of this year.
I think
year.
We knew pretty early that Deshaun Watson was a good quarterback, didn't we?
Yes.
Didn't they lose a lot early in his career?
And he got pummeled and he got hurt.
I've said this in the past, and I said it, you know, there have been times when Tom Brady gets the loss for a game where he threw for 400 yards and four or five touchdowns against the Rams. Tom Brady wasn't the reason why the Bucks lost to the Rams in that game. Not the playoff game, but I think they played a game in the regular season. The win-loss record for a starting quarterback in the National Football League can be very misleading at times.
Yep. Totally agree. Let me take Tom really quick, and then we'll go to your list, because he's leading into something that we're going to be doing later in the show. Tom in Oak Lawn, what's on your mind?
So I saw I'm sure you guys saw it. I saw the whole tweet where they had the greatest Chicago athletes and every single number regarding all the sports teams and such like that. And there's a lot. I mean, it's a really good debate, especially with a lot of them, like number 7, number 15, some of them that way. But the one that I'm a little upset about is, at number 87, they have Emery Moorhead, who is a very nice guy. I met him at the Hall of literally walking through the Football Hall of Fame when we went to see Richard Dent get inducted. He got more press in Richard Dent's speech than Dick did. But I mean, everybody knows Tom Waddle is the greatest 87 in Chicago.
I almost didn't come to work today, Tom, as a boycott that I did not find myself on that list. Tom, no, that's not Tom. True.
We're going to talk about this list. This list is from CHGO. They tweeted it out today. They did a grid of every best Chicago athlete with the jersey numbers from number 1 to number 99, and they filled it in with who they think is the best player in Chicago sports history of that number. He mentioned 87. They have Moorhead up here. There's one on there. Number 7 is probably the most interesting debate. They have Kukoc there, a 3-time champion, a legendary Bull. But is Chris Chelios the best number 7 of all time?
Yes, without a doubt.
Hall of Fame player?
Without a doubt.
So
you can't do this just based on championships won. I don't believe you can. I don't think you can do that.
Kukoc just got into the Hall of Fame, though, too, right? With his resume of being a basket. So they are both Hall of Fame players.
What about Muhsin Muhammad? We're just going to neglect the fact that he wore 87?
I would say Ed Obradovich would be the one that, yes, that came to mind first for me.
Me as well. Ricky Prohl.
Ricky Prohl, not. No. He was here for like 2 years and was benched
in
one year.
Yeah, one he didn't play him.
He was a better player away from us. When he got to the Rams, he was good. Player. Because they understood what he was. Wani's just like, oh, I see a white guy who's wearing 87. I see Waddle again. I don't think this guy can run.
Do you know
Ricky
OB?
Prohl was actually fast.
Oh, he was very good. OB had 51 and a half sacks in his career.
Yeah. That's probably Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, it's absolutely wrong. There's no reason it shouldn't be Obradovich.
So we'll go through
the drill. And Emery had a fantastic
five.
Career as well, but OB would have gotten my.
And then I've got a Patrick Kane question during that discussion, too. You want to get to your list
right
now?
Yeah, it'll be simple. Okay, I won't make it long.
Let's play the open for Waddle's top 10 list.
ESPN 1000 presents Tom Waddle's top 10 most important Bears for the 2022 season.
Well, that's just great. You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Bears!
Number 5.
There's a trend. There's been a trend recently. Has there not been a trend?
Defensive trend.
Do you believe that that trend continues? Would you like to take a swipe at who number 5 is on my list?
Number 5 will be an offensive player.
Really?
Here. I do
really?
Believe. Yes, he's
really?
An
really? You peeking?
No, I know. I know you. I know you had the run on defensive players here. You had all the secondary, basically, in there.
The last 3 days.
You went Brisker, then you went Kyler Gordon, then you went... Jalen Johnson.
You are correct. Memory is serving you well right now.
That was 876.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. Number 5.
You want me
wanna
to guess?
Yeah.
Darnell,
number 5.
Darnell Mooney.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney is number 5. All right. You know what my theme is here. It's about growth and development. And Darnell Mooney has... He presents the most dangerous weapon in that offensive huddle, and I think he's a very good player. You know how I feel about him. I don't believe we'll ever look at him, look back and say he became a number one. But that's fine. Do you know who I want him? I wrote this down. Do you know who I would be thrilled if he, in terms of production, becomes? Stay in the division.
Stay in the division.
Knowing where I see Darnell Mooney as a player for this organization.
All right, you're not talking about Justin Jefferson,
no,
obviously.
No, but you're close.
Who his complimentary receiver is? Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen would be a great comp for who, in terms of production, who Darnell Mooney could become.
I've always been bullish on Adam Thielen.
Do you realize how many touchdowns a season he has averaged over the last 4 years?
10?
10 touchdowns per season.
Good fantasy player.
Over the last 4 years. And an excellent number 2 receiver. A fantastic. And a guy that if Justin Jefferson can't go, he can slide into that spot and you're not going to be left out on an island. Again, I don't believe that Adam Thielen is a better receiver than Justin Jefferson, but he's a tremendous complimentary piece.
Boy, if Darnell Mooney is Adam Thielen, I'd be thrilled.
And again, that's what I'm shooting for. That's what I'm shooting for, Darnell Mooney being a guy that can develop into someone that can give you what Adam Thielen has given the Minnesota Vikings. And obviously, Justin Fields, as we've said over and over again, needs as much weaponry in his huddle as he can get. Darnell Mooney's got a nice start to his NFL career. Let's take another step.
Yeah. Bears Twitter loves Darnell Mooney.
Yeah.
Bears Twitter feels like he gets neglected in the national media.
I don't think he does.
We will see. Like, I feel like Bears Twitter these days was sort of like me when I was watching the Ben Gordon Bulls, and I loved Ben Gordon, and I was all things like, Ben Gordon, he could shoot it. He's all right. And Carm's like, he can't create his own shot.
Yeah.
He is not a good defensive player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have good ball handling. And so, like, we would argue, and he's too small. But I loved Ben Gordon. I feel like we're there with Darnell Mooney. We'll see if he can be really, really good.
I think you're right. I think that people are projecting Darnell Mooney to be that number one receiver. If he gets there... Which I'm reluctant to say he will, but that doesn't mean he's not a good player. You could be a number two in this league, like Adam Thielen, and average 10 touchdowns a year over the last 4 years, and I think everyone in this town would be thrilled. hopefully he exceeds
the
expectations. But
if he averages 10 touchdowns a year.
But if we're gonna sit and look at this Bears team and lament the lack of offensive weaponry in there, you do have a guy that has proven he can be productive. Would love to see Darnell Mooney take an even bigger step forward this year.
Love it. Tomorrow we'll get up to number 4. We'll finish off the list as the Bears report to camp next week. We've got Waddle's World coming up, and Brian Urlacher, the Hall of Famer, is going to join us at 4 o'clock.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Let's do this. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Before we, I want to play or have Jeff play some audio for you. Heard this with Carmen, a good kid, this morning. This UFC 280 is taking place, I believe, in London Saturday. And there's a fight with a guy named Paddy Pimblett. And Jordan Leavitt and Patty, we could get to it, okay? Not right now, but we'll get to it. He had some really funny things to say. I heard Carmen talking about it. He listened to this press conference like 6 different times and couldn't stop laughing.
This was going around the text chain
too
yesterday.
Oh, my God, is it hilarious. But
you're not going to play now?
I'm going to give it to you in a second. Just building a little bit of intrigue for it. First, got to tell you that, as we were mentioning, Kyler Murray has agreed to a $230.5 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. I believe $160 million of that is guaranteed for injury, according to Shefty. Shefty. And you were just telling me that Kyler Murray will now sign a contract that's his yearly compensation.
The annual value of his contract is more than the entire Oakland Athletics payroll.
That's not right.
It is correct.
But it
shouldn't be happening. Right.
So it's like, what, $46 million a year?
46.1.
And the Oakland A's?
At 41.9. 41.9.
The baseball team that drafted him.
Correct.
Yes.
The team that drafted him 9th overall, was it, I believe, or 7th? I thought it was 9th.
This is the problem with that sport.
This is from SGG Media. I just retweeted them.
Is there a floor and that's it? Or is there no floor in Major League Baseball?
There's no floor.
That's a joke.
Yeah, that's why they've been, you know, that's why they had issue of why they were being locked out.
They remember how they raged against having a floor this year.
It's just so crazy.
When they were arguing. I don't know how you can...
I'm with you. I would not have paid him $230.5 million.
You know who the biggest winner is of this entire deal?
Mitch? Yes, I know who you're going to say. You're going to say Lamar Jackson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because they keep getting a higher salary than the last guy who signed. He did it by what? $100,000?
Yes. $100K more than Deshaun Watson's
Deshaun Watson's entire
AAV.
Contract is guaranteed. This one's only guaranteed for $160 million.
Now, again, these owners, just like the Oakland A's shouldn't be at $41 million, don't have to make the next guy. This is what we've always raged against, Meller, that...
Yes,
you don't
I know where you're going.
Have to give the next guy
you're
the
right.
highest annual salary.
But you have to admit, Lamar Jackson, I think, has put himself in a different conversation than the next guy, like Kirk Cousins was, right? Like, he's kind of like the linchpin for you and I. That
Lamar Jackson is better than Kyler Murray.
Yes, and that's all the reason why Lamar Jackson's got a big smile on his face right now.
Yeah. He's more accomplished. I'm not sure the Ravens are going to meet that number.
Well, then you know what? Lamar Jackson's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean,
they can franchise him.
And what's that annual salary going to be for Lamar then? It's going to be, you know, you've got two guys already making 46.
It's very high.
But they may feel that short-term investment may be worthy. Maybe a worthy decision because of the nature of how he plays.
No, you're absolutely right.
They protect themselves from it.
And who else got the franchise tag for 2 consecutive years and then made out like a bandit when he hit the free agent market.
Yeah.
So maybe Lamar be like, okay.
I'm just interested to see what the Ravens decide to do because they've seemed reluctant to to meet his request.
Right. If I were a Cardinals fan, I would be saying today that I wish ownership would have waited. This should have been a prove it year. You want the money. You want 46.1. You show me this year. Don't flame out at the end. You were saying, make better decisions. How far away
you
was he?
Committed.
Is he 2 full years away from free agency? Well,
yeah, because you would have had to this year decided whether or not you're going to pick up his fifth year.
And of course you
will. Fifth year.
Yeah.
What was all the consternation then a couple months ago? Why was he pissed off if the Cardinals were just going to come to this decision anyway? I'm with Sylvie. It's kind of odd that we had an issue with him.
They gave in.
And Waddle, to your point of it, only, what would you say, 160 are guaranteed?
160 million guaranteed.
You're right.
Only 160?
Only 160.
Only? That's what we're saying now?
Don't you think
when you compare it to Deshaun Watson, whose contract was fully guaranteed?
And you're right. You're right.
That was a trade, though.
It's not fully guaranteed, but don't you think he's going to see, what's the percentage? He's going to see the 230.
That trade doesn't happen unless the contract is done.
That's my point, that he would not have approved a trade to Cleveland if he doesn't get it all. He doesn't have that in Arizona. He doesn't have the leverage. He didn't have any leverage, really, if you think about
it.
But he still won.
It's the weirdest, oddest situation where a guy who's been accused of everything that he's been accused of created a situation where he has more guaranteed money than any quarterback ever in history, and thus has changed the way that position is going to be paid out now.
I think all the quarterbacks should, they're thrilled. They're thrilled at what the Cleveland Browns did.
Can I ask you a question about Deshaun Watson, if you give me a second, or we could do it later?
No, go ahead.
Drill
fire
down.
Away.
I want to know the chain of events that happened. So, remember, it's 2020, and the Bears need a quarterback. And remember, the Bears wanted to trade for Deshaun Watson. Do you remember? This is when Deshaun Watson, before we knew anything about the massages.
I forget that the Bears wanted to trade for him.
Oh, yeah. They were the team that offered the most, I think, up at that point. This is before they draft Fields. It's the 2020, at the end of the 2020 season. And before the accusations come out, and he demands a trade. Remember this from the Texans? Did he demand a trade knowing what was the issue from the Texans? Was it over personnel, or was it because they weren't backing him up in the massage stuff? Were there things going on behind the scenes that we didn't know? What was the real reason that started these chain of events?
Remember, they had their front office was polluted with the guy who was from the Patriots, right, Miller?
Easterby.
Right. I know, but he was doing his own pollution.
You're right.
Well,
don't forget, too, the DeAndre Hopkins trade preceded the request, trade request. I think that
he wasn't looking to get out because he thought he was. I guarantee he never thought he was going to get caught.
Yeah, I wondered.
So he was inspired by
I was wondering, did the Texans approach him and say, hey, dude, what are you doing here? We're getting word that you're doing this stuff.
They gave him signed NDAs.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out. I want to be traded. Or was it strictly over football? And then it just so happened a couple of months later, a whole new controversy happens. Do you know what I mean? It seems to be a weird chain of events of where he wanted to be traded, and then a huge controversy comes out.
I think someone like Deshaun Watson feels he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof and doesn't need to get out of there because hell is descending upon him. I think he wanted out of there because, as Jeff said, they traded DeAndre Hopkins, and their front office did some really strange, weird stuff.
So was he.
Well, that's true, but I don't think his motivation for getting out of there was
weird. The chain of events that happened. That's all. Whenever I think of it, I always wanted, because remember, the Bears really wanted him. They were really interested in him and Russell Wilson, and they were doing everything in their power to get him before the 2021 season.
Kirby Smart has agreed to a new 10-year, $112.5 million contract, making him the highest-paid coach in college football. For those of you who are not aware, or you've been away for a while, Kirby Smart coaches the Georgia Bulldogs.
We should have that college football discussion next week, too, with NFL going to camp.
What the hell is going on?
Like the college football for dummies, where we want Feinbaum, Tyler. I think it was the day you were gone.
Give me Feinbaum.
Can you reach out to a Feinbaum or Feinbaum-type person?
Paul Feinbaum. All right, Miller, you ready? Is there... Is there anything you can do to kind of preview this? You've heard this. This is a guy. His name's Paddy Pimblett. He's fighting in UFC 280. It's in London on Saturday, I believe.
He goes by Paddy the Baddie.
Paddy the Baddie. Okay, so Tyler, right. Maybe you have some info. He's quite a character.
He reminds me, if anyone's ever seen the movie Snatch.
Oh, it's a
he
great
reminds
movie.
Me a lot of Brad Pitt's character,
yes.
the Pikey.
Good call, yes.
And that's why I'm going to bring down the Wild's World music, just so that I can give our listeners the best opportunity to try and discern exactly what Paddy is saying. It's definitely
very colorful.
Stay with it. You're gonna some words you may not understand completely, but keep listening because there's plenty that you will be able to make out.
I didn't mind him, lad, before the fight got announced. You know what I mean? But he's been talking all sorts of crazy, lad, and he's an absolute crab. You know what I mean? Can't throw a punch to save his life, and he's trying to talk, lad. It's mad. Can't believe he's talking about my opponents. That's Trey Ogden, lad. My nan's dead, and she'd finish him. Know what I mean?
Is there a chance you twerk over him if he gets?
I'm gonna teabag him, lad. I'm gonna teabag him like it's Modern Warfare 2.
For the uninitiated at home, what is teabagging?
I'm gonna squat as close to his head as I possibly can without the ref shouting at me.
Okay.
Just squat up and down like I'm on Modern Warfare 2, lad.
Thank you for clarifying that. How do you see the fight itself actually going? He was trying to say it's going to be a bit of a grappler versus grappler. What do you see?
It's not. I'm gonna come out. And I'm gonna take his head off. I'm not gonna be shooting no takedowns. I'm coming to stand with him and to take his head off. I'm coming to take his chin on with me. No. He can't throw a punch to save his life, lad. He really can't, lad. He comes to fights not to... He doesn't come into fights to win. He comes into fights not to lose. You know what I mean? Try and take me down, sit on top of me and sniff me balls for 3 rounds, lad. It's not going to work.
I like
that. Is he calling the interviewer lad or love?
Lad. I think lad. I think what? Lad.
That is what accent is that? By the way,
he's English. He's not Irish.
He's not English. It's not Irish. It's Pikey. I think he's
because the interviewer reminds me of an English Connor McKnight. Did you notice that? When the interviewer...
Not Conor McGregor, Conor McKnight.
Conor McKnight, when he doubled back, the way he asked the question to clarify what teabagging is.
Is there a chance you twerk over him if he gets...
I'm going to teabag him, lad. I'm going to teabag him like it's Modern Warfare 2.
For the uninitiated at home, what is teabagging?
I'm going to squat as close to his head as I possibly can without the ref shouting at me.
Okay.
Just squat right. up and down.
He's
like I'm on Modern Warfare 2, lad.
What is teabagging? That sounds like the British Conor McKnight.
Yes, and he's talking about a video game, right?
Modern Warfare 2,
where I guess that's what happens in the game.
Oh, yeah, you would shoot someone and then you'd teabag them.
You know what you need to clarify what teabagging is?
I think Paddy the Bag just described it.
Out of all his trash talking, my favorite is Conor McKnight going back in and asking for the uninitiated, can you clarify what teabagging is?
Is there a chance you twerk over him if he gets
I'm going to teabag him, lad. I'm going to teabag him like it's Modern Warfare 2.
For the uninitiated at home, what is teabagging?
I'm going to squat as close to his head as I possibly can without the ref shouting at me.
Okay.
Just squat up and down.
Okay, thanks.
Like I'm on Modern Warfare 2, lad.
Thank you for clarifying that. How do you see the fight itself actually going? He was trying to say it's going to be a bit of a grappler versus grappler. What do you see?
It's not. I'm going to come out and I'm going to take his head off. I'm not going to be shooting no takedowns. I'm coming to stand with him and to take his head off. I'm coming to take his chin on with me. No. He can't throw a punch to save his life, lad. He really can't, lad. He comes to fights
right?
He doesn't come into fights to win. He comes into fights not to lose. You know what I mean?
Try and
take me down, sit on top of me and sniff me balls for 3 rounds, lad. It's not going to work.
He's a Barstool guy, right? He's sponsored by Barstool.
That's basically Connor interviewing Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
That's the English version of that.
Lance Lynn before the ERA.
Right. Yeah. When Lance Lynn was good, that's what he would tell the opponent he was going to do to them.
Yeah. We'll get Abdallah when he comes in tonight to kind of give us a further kind of a preview of the Paddy Pimblett Jordan Leavitt fight that is scheduled for.
I think I'm going to start working in ball sniffer into my insults caveats now more often.
Okay.
I thought it was already part of it.
No.
You never said that?
I mean, not enough. clearly not enough.
Carm's got a good one as well. Like, we've talked about that in the past. Can't say that on the air here. Like, there are certain phrases that aren't used enough these days. I think you're right about that, Valor.
If you say so, you ball sniffer, you.
By the way, a new Crosstalk Unhinged just dropped, if you like that sort of talk.
You've got to find strategic ways to use it. Not like that. That was just gratuitous. That's all that was. I got a UFO story for you.
By the way, J.A. says that the Big Cat is pretty tight with Patty.
And I think he's coming to Chicago, too, in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, Patty is. I think they're already... I think Shea was telling the guys, Carmen, the good kid, this morning, he'd already worked on trying to get him in studio.
Great.
He's 5'10 and 155 pounds, so...
I'm not messing with him.
No, I was going to say, maybe you could square off with him.
No chance.
Maybe teabag
him. I don't want any part of that.
Maybe you could like sniff his balls.
Yeah. My move is to run like hell. That's it. That's my move.
But with your hamstring, you're not going very far.
You're right about that. My hamstring is shit.
All right, I have a UFO story when we come back.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
There's a new research that ranks states in terms of top rankings for UFO sightings, the most sightings.
Okay.
Would you like to take a guess at which state has had the most UFO sightings?
I'm going to go California.
Your California's at the top of your list, huh?
Is it not at the top of the list?
California is not at the top of the list.
We look in plain states where like light is with away from cities. We go in like a Nebraska, perhaps.
Can I submit New Mexico for Area 51?
New Mexico is not in your top five. It comes in at number 8.
Where do I always hear the... Let's go Ohio, then.
Come on, no. Ain't nobody... No, unidentified flying object wants to fly over Ohio. There's nothing going on there.
Don't we always see them over bodies of water, though, too? Maybe East
you
Coast?
See them everywhere. New research ranks Washington as the top state for UFO sightings. Yes. Researchers looked at a number of sightings that were reported worldwide each month from January of 2000 to December of 2021 to find the best month to spot a UFO. July was the top month. The rest of the top 10 for UFO sightings, number 2, Vermont, number 3, Montana, number 4, Alaska, number 5, Maine, see? Number 6, New Hampshire, number 7, Oregon, number 8, New Mexico, number 9, Idaho, number 10, Wyoming.
Yeah, a lot of those west, like northwest states, and then the east coast, the northeast, it sounds like.
Yes, you are correct. Nobody flies over Ohio. There's nothing going on there.
It is near water. They come in from that area. Is that right? I mean, from the coast? They come in from the coast?
I don't, like, I think your logic is faulty here. I don't even think it's logic. I think your rationale is faulty.
Just
here.
Throwing stuff
out. Yeah, I think it is.
Like bricks.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see it when they take off, you know, from the other countries, the airports that they leave from.
Yeah.
Come from bodies of water. I got you, silly.
Mike Tyson says he's going to be dead soon.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
From, yep. Like, because of interactions with people at the airport?
In his own words, soon. No. In his own words, on his Hot Boxing podcast, Tyson told therapist Sean McFarlane what he thinks about death and when his own time may come. He said, we're all going to die one day, of course. Then when I look at in the mirror, I see these spots on my face. I say, wow, that means my expiration date is coming close really soon. Tyson stated on his podcast. When the conversation reverted to money, Tyson admitted that money don't mean you know what to me. He said, I always tell people they think money's going to make them happy. They've never had money before. When you have a lot of money, you can't expect nobody to love you. You believe that you're invincible when you have a lot of money, which isn't true. That's why I always say money is a false sense of security. He says he's going to die soon.
Because of the spots on his face.
Yeah.
And that's an expiration.
I don't know what I mean. How about the tattoo? Like, I mean, is he talking about? Right? I don't know. Is about the tattoo on your face?
Misinterpreting the tattoo?
Yeah, there's a spot.
What's a spot on my face? I forgot.
It's a giant tiger claw. I have not heard the Mike Tyson Hot Boxing podcast. My guess is it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. You know, he's done some really bad stuff in his life, but he's an interesting guy.
And I send you to the interweb to check on the Velveeta. Liquid mac and cheese martini. They came up with a mac and cheese flavored martini.
The Velveeta shells and cheese was my go-to of the mac and cheeses.
Yeah, but you don't want a martini that's got mac and cheese flavor. I don't want one.
I mean, whoever would have thought...
Don't knock until you
try. Whoever would have thought that I would have enjoyed a drink with olive juice. But that's what a dirty martini is. I'm drinking juice from olives.
I'm envisioning just a martini glass filled with actual, like, Velveeta cheese. Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like, you just drink the actual mac and cheese.
It's like that, who's the player who's drinking the mayo in this coffee? Is that what
Will
it is?
Levis.
Oh, yeah, the Kentucky quarterback. Kentucky.
It's been gross. Yeah, so gross.
Awesome. I'll try a mac and cheese martini.
Yeah. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should do that one day.
Yeah, maybe when you're on the coast with all the UFOs flying over top of you.
A little bit of bacon bits in there.
That sounds actually very good. Like a kind of like a bloody
martini.
No, a Bloody Mary. You know, filled with all that sort of food. You
sure.
Love it.
Yeah, when
cheese
you pass out, it's gonna come over and teabag you.
Some breadcrumbs.
I don't want any part of you, Otto. We will talk to Brian. Speaking of teabagging, Brian Urlacher is number one when it comes to D's Nuts game.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's the captain of that game.
Josh Allen is maybe giving him a run for his money.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll talk to Urlacher about that and other stuff coming up next.